Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. It is great to have you here. My name is Campbell, and right now we are on day two of our technology article for the month of October. Yesterday we talked about Amazon and a new service that it is providing, and that service is a platform that allows content providers to create videos and different content, and then they can post it online and actually have people purchase it, and they can make money off of it. Sounds pretty cool. So we are talking about technology and how it is ever changing and how this technology is now making waves. Now, that was yesterday. Today we're shifting over to another major technology company, or a tech giant, as we were saying yesterday, and this is IBM. And IBM is a very, very old and well-established company, and there are some new things that they are doing. But before we get into our article, allow me to welcome my friends to the program. How are you guys doing, Albert and Michelle?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
So what is something you guys learned from yesterday's lesson?
I think learning about how Amazon is kind of shifting to be similar to things like Netflix and YouTube was really interesting to see how they're developing this new branch, I guess.
Right, but allowing people to get paid for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the past with YouTube, people could make money, but it was very dependent on like the ads, Google ads. And so there's no way to actually make money off of that particular content. But now with this Amazon service, people can make money right off of that content. Like, people will pay to watch that content.
Right. The current model that YouTube has is them determining the value of things. They set a fixed price or a payout, salary. Whereas here, Amazon's like, hey, well, you know, you made the stuff, and you should control the price, what you think the value is.
Right.
And then you, as a person, can decide, well, I'm going to set it at this much. Oh, wait, maybe it's too much. I'm going to lower it. Or maybe, hey, it's worth even more, actually.
Right, yeah. And this breaks down the gates that used to guard this industry, where people had to go through maybe a producer or a casting director or a director in order to get into this industry. But now anyone can provide this content and post it online and get paid for it.
Right.
So that's really, really cool. All right. Well, today we're shifting over to another company, IBM. And IBM is a very, very old company. It's 105 years old. And it used to be focused on the PC, the personal computer.
Right.
Right. But over the past few years, they've been shifting a lot, and they've been shifting into something that is called cognitive computing. What is cognitive computing?
It's basically the simulation of the human thought processes in a computerized model. So
it is self-learning, and it uses data mining, pattern recognition, and natural language processing to mimic the way the human brain works. That's a huge definition.
Yeah. So, I mean, in essence, basically making computers more like humans. Right?
Or to understand humans, or how we speak and how we talk and how we think.
Right. Yeah. So the idea is, you know, in the past, computers, they had to follow a certain set of directions, and if you weren't within those parameters,
right?
You know, if the instructions you gave the computer were outside of what it knew how to do,
right?
It wouldn't be able to help you.
Right. No, is it like it had specific instructions? It couldn't think outside the box, so to speak. You have to give it a specific format. Like, you, if you're asking a date, you have to be like, I'm asking you a date of this and this and this, and what day is it? Versus like natural languages be like, oh, when's next Thursday, or how's next Thursday, or something like that.
Yeah, and it also learns, so it's able to take the information that you've given to it and then create new information, new connections.
Right, which is really important, because you don't have to have programmers sitting, you know, there and constantly update. But, you know, like, our language changes, you know, from year to year. We have trending words. We have new words. We come up with slang, idioms, colloquialisms, stuff like that.
Right. And as, you know, as humans, when we read things, we learn things, we shift our way of thinking. And in a way, that's kind of the direction that these computers are going.
Right.
Which is a good thing, but people, if you watch a lot of sci-fi, you might feel that it's a little bit scary. So let's get into this article. Okay, so we are on page 17 at the bottom of the right-hand column where it says 7. So let's get started.
IBM makes a big shift into cognitive computing. After decades in the spotlight as a hardware-centric firm selling PCs, servers, and mainframes, the 105-year-old tech giant has made a dramatic shift into a realm that few understand: cognitive computing. Deep within the apps we use, the food we eat, the medicine we take, and the medical diagnoses we make, you'll find traces of IBM. IBM's cognitive computing business is the fastest growing segment at IBM, where overall sales are declining. Jeffrey Welser, director of IBM's Almaden Research Center, said it's the main focus for IBM in terms of growth. The work at Almaden played no small part in this. Several hundred researchers work at the facility developing artificial intelligence, algorithms, and the chipsets to support faster, more powerful self-learning systems.
So, IBM has spent decades in the spotlight as a hardware-centric firm. What does that mean?
Basically, it just means they were mostly focused on hardware versus other things.
Right. So as we said earlier in the program, they created PCs, which stands for personal computers, servers, and mainframes. So they were the ones that created the computers that we all used and the different hardware, okay, the actual physical machines that helped us do our computing. But lately, there's been a shift, right? And this is a 105-year-old tech giant. They've made a dramatic shift into what?
Cognitive computing. So IBM, you know, has all this factory and this resources to build computers, and now they're shifting towards server computers, which, you know, process more things and a lot more powerful, and they're, you know, creating smarter computers.
Right. So cognitive computing now is more in the area of software, right? So the programming of the computers. So they're shifting from the actual physical machines into the programming that runs the machines.
And I'll argue just a little bit of both, too. You need the hardware and the software.
Right. So deep within the apps we use, the food we eat, the medicine we take, and the medical diagnoses we make, you'll find traces of IBM. So all of these things IBM is involved in, which is really interesting. Now, IBM's cognitive computing business is the fastest growing segment at IBM. So this is kind of their new focus now, right? And overall sales are declining. So when we say that overall sales are declining, what are we talking about?
Basically, that in general, their sales, the money they're making is declining.
Right. I mean, if you just think about your own friends, right, how many people are actually using IBM computers nowadays?
Not many,
right?
Right.
Yeah, if you really think about the brands that we're using, IBM used to be the big player in the computing world, right? But now, I mean, you think Apple, Dell, right? Asus, Acer, these companies. So not as many people are using IBM computers these days, but it still needs to survive, so they're shifting over into another area.
Right, and like yesterday you had this great quote, and I feel like IBM is, you know, shifting towards that. They're like ever changing towards this direction, which is, hey, instead of selling individual things to individual people, let's shift to a service.
Mm-hmm.
We'll provide a service that everybody can use and everybody can integrate into their own apps, the food they cook, or the medical diagnosis that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. And so this is we hear from Jeffrey Welzer. He's the director of IBM's Almaden Research Center, and this is the part of IBM company that does a lot of research and helps to develop a lot of new medicine and technology and procedures. And he says that this is the main focus for IBM in terms of growth, right? So for a company to continue to grow and to continue to be relevant, they need to shift and they need to continue to change with the times. Otherwise, they'll get left behind. Like, for example, Kodak, right?
Mm.
Do you know what Kodak is, Michelle?
No, I don't.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding.
Are you kidding? Really?
Uh-huh.
You're joking.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel really old.
This cannot be possible.
Okay, Kodak.
Oh, this cannot be possible.
Kodak used to... I'm sorry. You have to laugh. It's just funny.
It is.
I feel really old.
Kodak. That cannot be possible. I feel like Michelle has just been living in a cave.
No. Okay.
So I feel like she will know what it is once we start explaining it, right?
You know what film is?
Film,
yes. Oh, like the physical film.
Yes, Kodak used to, that was a...
Oh, like K-O-D-A-K.
Yes.
Wait, okay, yeah.
Oh, you thought it was Kodak, remember
talking
about?
I thought like C-O-D-A-C.
Kodak,
okay.
Okay.
No, yes, so Kodak.
Okay, yeah,
but
I know.
See, the fact that you're, it wasn't like...
Yeah.
Even the
poppy,
right?
Yeah. So, okay, so Kodak used to be a huge company, right, when we were younger. Well, when I was younger.
Right, to the point where, like, landmarks, you go to visit, like, a national landmark, they'll have, it's a Kodak moment.
Right, yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Like, this place is a perfect place to take a picture with your Kodak camera, with the Kodak film.
Yeah, but they didn't shift with the digital camera industry, and so now they're kind of not around anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they are still around, but not as big as they used to be. So... IBM, to avoid this happening, IBM is shifting, right? And they're trying to move into another industry. Well, they're still in the technology industry, but into another area of this industry.
Mm.
And the work at Almaden played no small part in this. Several hundred researchers work at the facility developing artificial intelligence, algorithms, and the chipsets to support faster, more powerful self-learning systems. It sounds like science fiction.
Yeah, and just to give an idea of people, like, what they're developing, what we're going to talk about next, which is Watson. But Watson, each Watson is composed of 90 server computers with 8 core CPUs and a total of 16 terabytes of RAM.
Mm.
16 terabytes, that's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot, and that's a lot of computers. But, you know, if history has anything to say about it, we know that this is just going to get smaller and smaller, right?
And cheaper and faster.
And cheaper and faster. I mean, PCs used to be just like that, right?
Yeah.
Personal computer, or the computers mm-hmm. used to be huge. They take up a whole room. But now we have computers in the palm of our hand, right? So I'm sure it's just a matter of time for this Watson to become small enough that it can be incorporated into our cell phones. Or, I mean, maybe it could be something with the cloud computing.
Ooh.
Where they have these huge servers, but, you know, they can somehow integrate it into our software, into
right.
our phones. And artificial intelligence, this means it's not human intelligence, right? It's based on computers, but soon computers are going to be able to think the way humans think. Which, again, sounds like science fiction, but it's very real. All right, so how did they get here? Let's continue our article.
How did they get here? To understand why it sees cognitive computing as its future, it helps to go back to 2011, when IBM's artificial intelligence, Watson, beat human players on the game show Jeopardy. Shortly after the Jeopardy matches, IBM researchers taught Watson to read patent databases and medical journal abstracts. They taught Watson context. The cognitive power that goes into Watson has also given IBM a seat at the food safety and genomic research table. Watson can even be found in recruitment and marketing tools, and dating apps. The artificial intelligence can trawl through social media accounts, analyze the language people use, and determine their personality traits. It's about understanding people better at a deeper level. said Rama Akaraju, an engineer who works with the Watson Group. So if I'm trying to sell you something, I could know ahead of time what kinds of things you're interested in, and I'd only offer you the things relevant to you. Watson isn't technically a computer, it's software. It helps to think of Watson as a collection of algorithms stored in the cloud that can do different things. It's in these algorithms, powered by faster and more efficient chips, that IBM believes its future lies.
So how did they get here? Why is IBM so focused on the development of this cognitive computing? What does our article tell us?
The article says that in 2011, IBM's artificial intelligence, which is Watson, beat human players on the game show Jeopardy.
That's right. So what is Jeopardy for people who've never seen the show?
It's this long time running game show with host Alec
Trebek. That's right.
Right. And it's pretty fun, actually, and I definitely recommend you guys check it out. Basically, they have like questions that are current, trending, news related, and they're by thematic.
Yeah. Actually, they have answers, right? So that's the theme of Jeopardy, is they give you the answer.
Oh,
you
right.
have to come up with the question.
Right.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
always say, what is, oh my gosh, I gotta
yeah,
watch
you guys. Yes.
You gotta watch
so
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy is actually really interesting. So they kind of shift, they kind of flip it. So they give you the answer, you have to come up with the question.
Yeah.
So, and it takes a lot of thinking. You have to be really, really smart, right? So what's kind of typical of the Jeopardy contestant is that they are very, very smart and they know a lot of different facts and
right.
it requires them to think.
It's right? not only book smarts, but you got to be like street savvy
right.
or just well-rounded.
Yeah, and I think this is an actual really good illustration because you have to think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In traditional computing, right, you give them a question, they give you an answer.
Right.
Right now we're shifting it back where, you know, you're giving them an answer, and then they have to formulate a question.
Right.
Right, and that takes more context. That takes thinking.
And that context really matters, and this is where Watson excels. Because, like, even nowadays, we feel like Google is actually answering our questions.
Right.
Like, I typed in, like, what is the capital of Egypt?
Right.
Google isn't actually reading my sentence.
Right.
And it doesn't even care about the grammar or the spelling.
Right.
What it does is it's looking for keywords saying, oh, Egypt, capital, right?
Right.
And then finds articles that has embedded with the word Egypt and capital.
Right.
And then it cross-references it with ranking. Like,
right.
oh, this website is popular. It was associated with this.
Right, yeah.
So Google's search engine looks magical, feels magical, it's actually not actually understanding my questions. So when sometimes you type in a question and you don't get what you want, it just fails really badly.
Right, yeah.
yeah.
Right, so going back to Albert's question, what is the capital of Egypt? It's Cairo, right? So what happens in Jeopardy then is they'll describe Cairo. They'll say, oh, this city is the capital of Egypt, and it is populated with this number of people, right? And then your job is to give the answer, what is Cairo?
Mm.
Yeah. And so that kind of takes this mental shift, and you need to think, and most computers aren't able to do that. So it really takes some really special artificial intelligence, and Watson was able to beat human players on the game show. So, shortly after the Jeopardy matches, IBM researchers taught Watson to read patent databases and medical journal abstracts, and so they started to teach Watson context.
Right, and Watson can read, not only can it read, but it can process 500 gigabytes per second, or the equivalent of a million books per second.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
So, basically, Watson is able to think. Right? And the cognitive power that goes into Watson has also given IBM a seat at the food safety and genomic research table. What does it mean that something or someone gets a seat at the table?
That they're able to contribute to the food safety and genomic research table and maybe provide answers, provide...
Right. So they have a position as a member of this group, and they're able to help to make decisions and offer insight. And genomic research basically is the study of genes and their roles in inheritance. So, for example, like why, when I have black hair, does my daughter also have black hair, right? And why, if I have brown eyes, my daughter is not going to all of a sudden have green eyes, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of, in very simple terms, what genomic research does. Of course, it's a lot more complicated than that. But Watson is allowing IBM to participate in all of this right now. And Watson can even be found in recruitment and marketing tools and dating apps. Why do you think that Watson is able to do that?
Well, the reason is because, like we said earlier, it has there's all this information on the web, and Watson is not only able to read through all of it, but process it.
Right.
You know, all this information on the web isn't conveniently tagged for traditional computing, computers and algorithms.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, this is hair type.
Right.
Where versus like, you know, somebody would say, oh, he's dark and dreamy. So usually, you know, if they're talking about something like characteristics like skin color or hair color, and Watson can be like, oh, that using that natural language processing understands what it is.
Right.
And match people up in dating apps or anything else just within context.
Right. So the artificial intelligence can trawl through, which just means go through social media accounts, analyze language people use, and determine their personality traits. Right. So that's all stuff that we as humans can do. We look at someone's Facebook, we look at someone's Twitter or their Instagram, and we make
connections.
You know, connections, and we make decisions and judgments on this about this person, right?
Right.
We kind of determine, oh, this is they're this type of person based on the stuff they post.
Right.
But traditional computers aren't able to do that.
Right. You know, it's like someone goes outdoors a lot and posts photos, but oh, they like to hike. They're adventurous.
And they like to take photos. Something like that. Yeah. And this is very huge in recruitment, right? Because if you're looking to hire people, you're going to, and this is a good reminder for everyone to be careful what you're posting on social media, because especially if you're looking for jobs, right? People are going to look at Facebook and Twitter. And I've heard of people who lose out on jobs because of the stuff they post, you know? And so you need to be very, very careful what you post online. And now with Watson and computing, making that even more accessible and easier for companies to do, that's even more important. All right. So it's about understanding people at a deeper level, which is kind of ironic because you're using a computer, right? For example, this engineer who works with Watson, the Watson group, says, if I'm trying to tell you something, I could know ahead of time what kinds of things you're interested in, and I'd only offer you the things relevant to you.
This is kind of like YouTube, and how after you watch videos, they'll be like, oh, these are some suggested videos for you.
Yeah, totally. They kind of keep track of what you enjoy, what you like, and they'll suggest things. And even with advertising now, I don't know if you've noticed, like on the computer now, if you've ever searched for something online, the next time you open a page and there's advertising, that's going to be exactly what you were searching for just earlier.
Right. But I think to be fair, in the case of YouTube, what's happening is it gives the illusion or appearance that it knows what you like. But it's basically connecting videos that are popular. Like, you watch a video about plumbing, I'm going to show you a video about faucets next, or suggested. Whereas Watson understands you, it's like, oh, maybe you're watching a video about plumbing because you have a clog or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll help you out with like, here's some tools that you can use.
Right.
Versus showing a video about faucets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's able to understand context and why people do things, which is kind of amazing, but also a little bit scary in some ways.
Why are you scared?
Because it's kind of like these computers. I don't know. Maybe I've watched too many movies.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, Watson isn't technically a computer. It's software, right? So again, we're saying that the IBM is shifting from the hardware realm of technology over to software. And how does it describe Watson exactly?
Well, it helps to think of Watson as a collection of algorithms stored in a cloud that can do different things. But I feel like, again, we're discounting how IBM has this position where they're able to make these computers to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, for a while, it took Apple computers, because they were dependent on Samsung, they couldn't move away, and they started to build their own factories, then they could control everything
right
from start to end.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and so far it seems like the only application that Watson has been in is in tangent with or assisting in terms of like the medical field is assisting in finding treatment options and not actually involved in medical diagnosis process.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a good reminder that everything on the cloud is actually, there is a physical machine somewhere that has all this data. You know, it's not like there's this nebulous thing in the air with all the information. Like, all of the cloud, quote-unquote, is actually a computer.
Right.
It is a computer, right? So Watson is software, but as Albert's been reminding us, there is an actual physical computer, well, several physical computers that process all this information.
Right, and on page 18, we have a photo of the research center, which now that I take a look at it, it looks kind of like a military base.
Yep.
Ooh.
Totally. It sounds like the stuff of movies, I keep saying. All right. Well, if you're more if you're interested in the history behind Watson, you can take a look at our sidebar on page 17. And also it shows you how Watson learns and how it's able to process this information, which is very, very interesting. All right. So Watson, again, is a collection of algorithms, and algorithms are a set of instructions or rules or a program that tells computers what to do. And these algorithms are stored online. And as we've been saying, they're able to not only make connections, they're also able to interpret, right? Interpret the information. So, for example, it mentions Siri in our sidebar over there. Siri is what Apple is, the kind of Apple's program software that allows us to do voice activation, and it's really, really convenient. But Siri is kind of limited somewhat, right? It's not going to able to it's not able to understand context.
Oh right, no, totally. I mean, like, if you guys ever get the chance, try Siri on your phone. When it works, it's magical. It's beautiful. It's like unicorns pop out.
Yes.
But when it fails, you just stare at your phone. You're like, what happened here?
Yeah.
Sometimes you ask it a simple question that you would think it would be able to answer, but it's just unable to do it.
Yeah. So, for example, if I say, call my wife to Siri, it's able to do that. But I have to first tell Siri who my wife is.
Yeah, or if you ever use, like, ring, my friend.
Right.
It'll be like, ring, what about ring? It'll start giving me a Wikipedia page instead.
Right, yeah. So you have to use specific words, and you have to tell it, you have to teach it, right?
Right.
But for Watson, I'm guessing, is that they're able to just search through my media and know who my wife is, which is, again, kind of scary.
Yeah.
Do you understand why I think it's a little scary now? So it's, again, this idea that they're able to think. It's able to think. So, really interesting stuff. We'd love to hear what you think about cognitive computing. Do you think it's a good thing? Do you think it's something to be wary of? What do you think? Please do write to us. And join us for our last day of this technology article tomorrow. But in the meantime, it's time to say goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye.